You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis. It is a delight for me today to have with me a new friend, Jill Katzenberg. We met on the Marketers Cruise. I talk about this all the time, so just know that we're going to have a link down below in the show notes for the Marketers Cruise. If you've not been on the cruise before, you're missing out. And, you know, right after the cruise, one of my clients, Jen Otto, had CE at Sea for real estate agents. And it was an unbelievable success, like 3 weeks right after the Marketers Cruise. And it was all really, we set it up to be similar to the Marketers Cruise because I'd been on it, you know, on the cruise so many times. And several years ago, I spoke on a cruise. I had a real estate agent that called me and said, hey, would you be a speaker on a cruise? We'll pay for your entire cruise and you be the speaker and do some CE. And I was like, yeah. So we meshed those together and she had this beautiful cruise and she's doing it again next February as well for real estate agents to get their CE on at sea. So you're writing it off and having fun. And, you know, this whole office came. It was really cool. They all bonded all week and stuff. It was so cool. So that's where I met Jill. And, you know, I think it's really, really a great cruise. Obviously, I wouldn't have gone on it that many times. So that link is down below. If you want to check that out, it's super, super inexpensive. Just make sure you scroll down and say Jen Duplessis. I think it's under Lady Jen. Lady Jen Duplessis invited you because it is an invite only. So I didn't expect to do that little commercial, but that's how we met, Jill.
Right? It was awesome.
It was. And I think it was your first time going, right?
It was my first time. And I'm going back this coming year and next January. I'm already signed up.
Proof in the pudding. Yep. Proof in the pudding. So let me tell you all a little bit about Jill. She is a real estate agent. She is, well, maybe you don't like that. Maybe you like realtor, a professional realtor, but she has built her real estate practice for several years. She's in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And today, as we're recording this, we have the solar eclipse. So we're all excited about, you know, you because you have a direct path of it. It's awesome. But she, you know, started with a small brokerage firm and then she, you know, grew that to 100 sales per year. But then in 2002, so, you know, a little over 20 years ago, she had the opportunity to open up a Keller Williams office in the Cleveland area, starting with just 24 agents. But the brokerage has now grown to over 2,000 agents in the area, becoming the largest real estate company internationally. Now we know that for Keller Williams as a whole, that's what Keller Williams is. So again, welcome to the show. I am delighted to have you here and can't wait to talk to you about a couple of different things today.
Great. Thank you so much. Just a quick clarification. I was a realtor. Now I coach realtors nationally and I don't have my license. So I am very neutral on topics. I don't have anything invested. I don't have, so, it's interesting because what is new is old. I mean, there's so much old school stuff that we really need to put in practice these days. And we'll get into it, I'm sure, in the conversation.
With your promptings. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I love that because that's exactly where I'm at. I no longer have a license. I don't do real or mortgages. I don't do any of that. So it allows me to just come in with it, whatever, you know, tangible opinion or perspective that I have. So let's talk about the big elephant in the room as we're recording this, because this is about NAR, right? And I've done a lot of research and a lot of reading and listening and talking to people. You know, I had the pleasure of speaking with Steve Rogers. In fact, he'll be on this show shortly. He's booked it. I just don't know when it is, but he'll be on this show shortly. And he was the CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, you know, across the United States. So, and now he's doing fractional real estate, which I'm getting into. I've invested in his company. You know, it's going to be the wave of the future. But, you know, we talked about NAR and he has a perspective. Tell us a little bit about your perspective on this decision, how it's going to affect the environment, both mortgage and real estate. What are you going to see in the future? What are we?
Well, I don't really understand quite how it's going to be much different. It's going to be different for sure. However, that being said, at right now, there's so many moving parts still going on that we don't have a defined. It's going to be resolved probably mid-July. So that much we know. But that being said, I have always been one to do buyer agreements, buyer listing agreements. So, you know, this is going to force the realtor. It's a good thing. This is a gift in the shift. So this is going to have agents understand and communicate their value proposition to the prospect. And they're going to say, I'm going to bring all this value to you. So if you want us to work together, then we have to come to some kind of agreement. And we do this with sellers. Why don't we do this with buyers? I don't, you know, it's always been a question for me.
Yeah. And it's funny you're saying that too, because I mean, the reason I was giggling about that as you're talking about it is I don't know of a single situation in my 40 years, right, in this industry. I don't know of a single situation that I've ever had a buyer's agent come to me without a buyer's agreement. You know, where are these real estate agents that are walking out there without buyer's agreements? Now, that said, I definitely have seen situations where, you know, they were in a hurry, somebody was in town for the weekend, whatever the case may be, and I failed to get a buyer's agreement, and then, you know, it hit me in the face, or I need to go backtrack or whatever. But I don't know of anybody who doesn't have a buyer's agreement. So for me, I'm going, wait a minute, why is this new? I don't understand.
Well, it's not new. And it's funny, the example you bring up started me on buyer agreements, because I was interviewed by a couple coming in. As you said, I'm from the Cleveland. I do business in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And I had somebody from the California area travel in unexpectedly. They were interviewing agents to make up a luxury home purchase. And the husband said to me, they said, we want to work with you, and we are not going back home without our signing a buyer agreement. So all the noise, what I call noise, that we get in our head about, oh, somebody's not going to sign, they're going to not going to want to commit to me, et cetera, that all went away, because these people did not want to get on a plane and leave town without knowing that they had an agent committed to them to find the home for them. So it shifted my mind. And then once that happened, I just said, well, I have to do it from this point on, or else it's a potential fair housing concern if I do it for one and not the other, et cetera. So that's how I did it. It just became part of my system.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know of any brokerage that doesn't allow it. This is what's so funny about that. Now, what I do understand that's happened with NAR is, with the new, I don't even know what this new agreement's called, this new thing is called yet, right? Everybody's just like, what's going on with NAR? So I'm sure there'll be a name for it at some point, but, you know, and maybe someone listening knows, and you can put it in the comments and go, hey, the name of it is this. But, you know, when I think about seller agreements, right, there is, and I teach a lot of real estate CE, and I always say, look, there's nothing written in any guideline that says it's hard and fast 6% for the seller. And I get it as a realtor, you know, and the realtors that are listening, you know, anytime that you have these discount brokerage firms that came in, you know, 5%, 1.5%, all that kind of, or someone tried to finagle you down because you were doing both sides, which is fine. But, you know, everyone was 6%, 6%. It is not written anywhere. 6% is not written anywhere. It became the norm. And, you know the story about the frog that sits in the water, and as you heat it up, it dies. But if you throw a frog in hot water, it'll jump out and live. And it feels like that's kind of what happened here, is that just over time, it became the norm. And then all of a sudden it got really hot and everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? But I do see that sellers may, this is my perspective and I want yours too. I see that sellers are like, oh, this is good. So now I only have to pay 3%. They have to pay 3. First of all, that's all negotiable, but I don't have to pay the 6. Now the buyer can pay the 6. So from a seller's perspective, hey, I'll get more equity for my house. So they might now maybe start selling their homes. But the challenge on the other side is that the buyers don't even have enough money to put down on these larger priced homes, because everything's, you know, with inflation and exasperated by the high interest rate as well. So they're not going to want to pay 3%. So what's going to happen from your perspective of what are sellers thinking and maybe expecting, and what are buyers thinking and expecting, and what do you think really is going to happen?
Well, that's a whole can of worms, but
I know.
But to be fair, let's break this down. Let's get really simple, because I like to keep it simple and clear. When a seller agreed to pay a commission, it was to a listing brokerage.
Right.
That hasn't changed. That is not going to change. And it was at the grace of the listing brokerage to see whether or not they were going to give a split of that fee to the buyer brokerage.
Right.
That was on the listing brokerage. That is not going to change. So we have to break down what is actually going to change and what is not going to change. What is going to change is the communication of what that portion to the buyer brokerage is going to be, how it's going to be communicated. It cannot be communicated in the MLS forms, any on showing desk or anything like that. So there's going to be creative ways of communicating that there will be cooperation. And to be fair, that's going to give a ripple effect on how first-time buyers are going to be able to afford to pay their agent, et cetera. That is, you know, to come. I don't have the answer to that. We'll wait and see. Mm-hmm. But we have to take down what I call the temperature, and to say what is really changing. And what's really changing is that the agents are going to really begin to get really more professional in the way they approach their business. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to identify why work with us as opposed to anyone else. And we've never, or not never, but we have rarely had to do it, especially in the market we just came out of, where you threw spaghetti against the wall.
Everything stuck.
Right. And so now we have to work for it. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. We'll be, you know, the professionals who are producing are going to keep producing. Mm-hmm. The ones who really choose to make it a relational business, mm-hmm, are going to get the business. The transactional business is, it's not sustainable. It really is. And it's an expensive way to do the business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, this is the same thing that the mortgage industry already has gone through, you know, is that the cream will rise to the top, and those that, you know, have better or stronger sales skills, stronger relationship skills, will survive the rate competition you know, and the thing that makes you unique. So, you know, I mean, I've always felt this. It's funny. I was just wanting to make one more comment about this, and we'll kind of transition into some of the other pieces of this. But, you know, I remember just buyers complaining about $495 to a buyer's agent, and I'm going, oh, well, wait till you see what happens now, because it may be, you know, substantially higher. It may not. I don't know. We'll have to see how, you know, how it shakes out. But yeah, I agree. It's a leveling up. It's something that the industry needed, you know, the real estate industry needed, because there's so many real estate agents that just hang their shingle someplace, and they're part-time and weekend realtors. And, you know, and just like any industry, anything, I don't care if it's car sales, I don't care if it's mortgage real estate, the few, you know, ruin it for everybody else. So it's time that is all sorted out and sent away. So we'll see a shift in that. That's for sure. Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, relational selling, because that's something that I love and you do too. Yeah. I'm all about that relationship and creating a client experience. Especially with my clients when I'm coaching them, is I don't care what you do. I care how you do it.
That's right. That's right.
And so we need to stop saying, you know, what do you do? Oh, I'm a realtor, or oh, I'm a mortgage person. We need to stop saying that. It's not what you're doing that's going to differentiate you. It's how you do it. So let's talk about a proprietary process that you've created called promptings. Let's talk about, why is this so important, and where did it come from? And, you know, what do people need to be heeding as they're listening to you explain how you do this program, and lastly, the results. And I'll make sure I follow that path with you. You won't have to remember all the questions.
Okay, no worries. I when I started in the real estate space, I came from the East Coast. I came from New York, came to Cleveland because of a job, and that job went away because we were on one of our recessions. So I shifted into real estate sales, and I didn't know a single person. So I didn't have a safety net of my high school class or anything like that, or any kind of relational stuff. So I came from an entrepreneurial family, and my dad said, oh, you'll be great in sales. You're honest, hardworking. The sky's the limit with income. I went, okay, check, check, check. That's great. And then he forgot to tell me that the first 5 years of the business, of being in any business, you have to work like 100 hours a week, because we had like 9,500 other licensed realtors at that time. And we just, you know, why would a person choose a 20-something-year-old person to help them buy or sell a property versus 9,500 other people? Well, one thing led to another, and I was passionate about thanking people for the opportunity, thanking people for coming to my open house, thanking people for meeting with me, et cetera. And then I was able to grow this business from nothing to about 100 transactions a year, just by writing notes and following up and honoring birthdays and anniversaries and house anniversaries and et cetera. And it's a thing there where it's simple, but it's not easy. So you have to make sure that was my lead generation tool. And then I became aware through my business networking group of a company known as Send Out Cards, which has become the tool for the parent company known as Promptings. Yeah. So Promptings is what I love doing, because people always say, I want to do business by relationship. Well, do you really? So if you really want to do business by relationship, then you have to know that other people want to be acknowledged for their birthday, their anniversary, their child's first day of school, the last day of school. I mean, they're posting stuff on Facebook and Instagram and all. I mean, they're showing, look at me, look at me, look at me. And so if we're doing business by relationship, we need to honor that and to acknowledge that. And that's why
I think, you know, a lot of people say that they're relational, but they don't take any of the action to actually be relational. And and while you and I talked about this before, I used to send out cards, right? But now I handwrite a lot of my cards. But that has been, it was funny, when I retired from lending, and I had my first coach, and she said, "Why were you so successful?" And I said, "Because I wrote notes." That was the first thing I responded with. And she goes, "That's not why you were successful. You did other things too." And I said, "Yeah, of course I did, but I definitely wrote notes." And it's funny because many of us know, but you know, Brian Buffini, and he's known for the note writer, especially in the community of real estate agents, some, you know, loan officers, but you know, he's all about writing notes, et cetera. But I was writing notes before I even was introduced to Brian Buffini, because my mom taught me to write notes. And anytime that I'm traveling, so I give everybody this challenge. If you ever meet me when I'm speaking someplace or we're someplace, ask me to show you my notes, because I have them with me all the time. I write them to the housekeeping group. I write them to someone at the front desk if they went over and above. Someone in the cafeteria. That's not cafeteria. The restaurant. You know, in the hotel, I go over and above with notes. And now my daughter does it too, and it's a competition. You know, we went to a funeral for my uncle a couple of months ago. And it becomes this competition of, have you already written your note? No, I'm not having written my note. I'm going to write when I get home. I've already written mine. I wrote it when, and it's become this competition to write, you know, like a thank you note to my cousin for letting us stay at her house, and, you know, like all this stuff. But it goes such a long way. And I want to share, you know, one other quick story. And then I'd like to hear a couple of stories on how this has changed your business, right? This isn't about how it changed my business. I'm talking about me personally. You know, when it's my birthday and everybody gets online, and we know it's your birthday because you put your information in, it's your birthday. And I get thousands and thousands of happy birthday, all the canned stuff. But I still remember I can't remember the name of the jewelry, but she sold jewelry. And I remember her not texting me personally, which, by the way, thank you for doing that, because that's better than being on Facebook. But, you know, she texts me personally, but she went all the way to call me. You know, she called me, and that was the only phone call I got outside of my family for my birthday. And I still am talking about it. And that's probably 9-10 years ago.
It's just the little things, you know. People are, what I'm finding is with the clients who I get to coach, because I only coach realtors now, nationwide. But what I find is what we're trying to do is wean them off of the paid lead concept.
Yes.
My leads, I'm paying. Mm-hmm. And because, first of all, it's expensive. It's really expensive. And second of all, it takes a whole lot longer time to convert that lead into an actual prospect,
which makes it more expensive. We forget about our time.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And so I get letters. So now I constantly love on what I call loving on my realtor clients. I love on them. So I will send them a card after our first initial coaching call, mm-hmm. the best is yet to come kind. And I give them a little treat. And then if they have a birthday or an anniversary, mm-hmm. or even our coaching anniversary, mm-hmm. You know, just little things, or if they have accomplished a certain level of achievement, right. and they've won a certain award and this. So it's little things, but the little things are the big things, and they make a difference. And that's why I really believe, besides obviously coaching them well enough for them to achieve certain levels of achievement that they want, that they have continued to decide to work for us, to work together for 2, 3, 4 years. Because as I say, as your business improves, you know, new levels, new devils, you have new yeah. challenges as your business grows. So, but that being said, when they say to me, what's your tips and tricks on how to get new business? I said, when was the last time you talked to your clients from 7 years ago? When was the last time you talked? Not text, not email, talk. Just say hi, just thinking of you. It doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, we would, and to use a CRM, a contact management system, and to say, when you see a notification that one of your clients is having a wedding anniversary, what I would do is call up the husband and say, you know, hey, Mike, and let's say it was a week from today.
Right.
I would say, hey, Mike, you know, it's Jill. I just wanted to make sure you remember it's your anniversary next week, and I don't want you to get in trouble with Mary. Yeah. You know, and then he would laugh, la, la, la. And then we said, well, you know, that situation, I listed and sold properties for that family four times in my sales career. And it was not because I was selling to them all the time. I was saying, hey, I see you. I would write notes if I knew the birthdays of the client's dogs or cats. I would write notes to the dog and say, hey, I hope you get an extra treat because it's your birthday today. Da, da, da. You know, you have to have fun with it. And, you know, lead generation doesn't have to be like heavy. It could be lots of fun, and it can be the more lighthearted and intentional, the more you'll be able to do business. It's so natural to me. I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't either. And I think that, okay. So some people that are listening are millennials, right? Or Gen Z, right? Yeah. Gen Z. I was going, wait a minute. Is that the one? I coach on this. You'd think I'd remember it. Anyway, but some people are listening to it and they're going, oh, that's so old fashioned. That's so this, that's so that. And I want to address that, right? Because we just need to make sure. But I also want to make a statement before you address that. And is that, you know, think about this. So for you listening, when you're listening, you are listening, right? We're not saying if, but while you're listening here, you need to think about how you're connecting with your clients. You know, and I talk about this all the time. Are you nurturing your clients? And if all you're doing is sending, you know, mail, whether it's snail mail or whether it's email, and all you're doing is sending out a mass email once a month, a newsletter, or whatever the case may be, that is not nurturing. That is target marketing. That all it is marketing. That is not nurturing. Nurturing is a two-way street. And I need you to understand that, because if you think you're doing nurturing by sending out emails or texts or whatever, that is not nurturing. That's why you have to have the binoculars on all the time going, I need more leads. Or in your case, you said opportunities, which I use all the time. God's honest truth. I can quote me last week doing this. We don't need leads. We need opportunities, because opportunities are so much more than leads. We don't know what it's an opportunity for something that would move the needle in our business. So if you're not doing that, and you're thinking, oh, well, notes are old and, you know, doing these phone calls are old and this, that, and the other, then what are you doing? You're absolutely doing nothing. You have to try something.
Yeah.
So that said, help those that are listening going, ah, it's kind of old fashioned. I don't want to write notes. I drink Kool-Aid, so I believe you, right? Obviously.
Well, the acute fast story is I have a cousin, a 23-year-old cousin who lives out of state, lives in closer to your area. Jen, and anyway, I get a phone call from him. And I return the call. He goes, oh, I was going from South Carolina to Virginia back. And he was calling every single person in his phone that he had done business with. He's an entrepreneur, and he just wanted to see how they were doing. I went, oh my gosh, please speak to my clients, because that's exactly what I want them to do. Yeah. So I think the fact is that at any age, The one thing that I think we're all human, number one, and we all are wearing a sign saying, look at me, look at me, look at me, no matter what age.
Recognize me, appreciate me.
You know, honor me, you know, sympathize with me. So empathize with me. So the program, so the promptings program, just to be fair, if it can allows a person to grab a photo that they may have on their phone or in any social media content and put it on a card, which the card will be kept. If you put a photo, let's say a realtor takes a picture of a house that they are trying to get the listing for, and they take a picture with their phone of that house, and they have the conversation with the seller, and in the car, they can literally use the app on the phone, take that photo, put it on the face of the card, voice text a message, so happy to have met with you, looking forward to working with you, have an awesome day. You know, you can send a gift or not. You can send, you know, you can, within a minute, it's done. You can have your handwriting in the system, signature in the system, it's done. And then you can go on to your next appointment. It's so easy. It's easy. It's simple. It's not easy. It's you know, people say, oh, I don't have time. Most realtors, if they're spinning out of control, they go, oh, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time. And it's like, no. You don't have time not to do it. Mm-hmm. This is your lead generation. That's your job. Your job is not to help buyers or sellers. Your job is to lead generate. Because if you're in business, if you don't have a book of business, you don't have a business. Right. So let's get clear about what your business really is. Yeah. And that's how I look at it. It takes all of, you know, a minute to minutes. If you send out 3 cards a day to people who mean something to you, the word promptings means, you know, really acting on a prompting, what is in your heart. The minute a prompting is really swift, and it leaves. If you don't act on it, then shame on you, because that is when somebody's in the powers, whatever, speaking, saying, hey, you should reach out to that person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because, see, I wake up in the morning and I'll think of somebody, you know, and I'll text them that morning and say, you know, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you today. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, thank God, because my mom is ill. You know, I don't know how, I mean, God works in mysterious ways, but it's, you know, and that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, I love it. But now I was going to ask you this. I think I know the answer, but I just want to have a little fun with this, is that, have you ever received a thank you note from a thank you note?
All the time.
I save them all year, and before I throw them all away, I reread them, and it reminds me of how, you know, how my year went. And I love rereading them all the time. Yeah, it's amazing how just a simple little thank you note. You know, one of the things that my team did, I just want to share this with everybody. So, you know, if you're a realtor and you have a team, or mortgage person, you have a team. We wrote notes all week. I required my team to write them too, because I was already a note writer. But I had my team do it as well, is to choose one person that they had an interaction with that week, whether it was internal to the office, you know, the front desk person, someone in payroll or HR, you know, a colleague, you know, another person who helped you, another loan officer who helped you while I was not in the office, whoever it is. Internally or externally. So we started sending notes to my team, was sending notes to my clients in the process saying, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I just want to say thank you so much for being so prompt at getting us the documentation. If everyone was like you, our jobs would be so much easier. It's such a pleasure to work with you. And here's what's happened. What happened? My right hand, my production partner, got an invitation to their Christmas party or something. It was Christmas or 4th of July party. I didn't, even though I still wrote notes, right? She wrote that note and got an invitation to their party. And that's okay because it was still bringing business to me, you know, but it was cute.
But I think the fact that the realtors, I mean, they need to think about beyond the prospects, the buyer seller prospect. Part of the system. This is, you know, where I'm a big systems person.
You have to do that. Yeah.
You know, so what happens is when a transaction transfer title, my team knew that five or six oversized postcards with a felt tip marker, nothing fancy, keep it simple. I would write a short note to the loan officer, the escrow person, the inspector, the other agent, I would include a Starbucks gift card or a couple of movie passes, because I was so grateful that they brought the buyer to our listing and things like that. It took all of maybe 15 minutes, but I knew that the relationship with these partners could make it or break it and this is going to be important in the market we're going into and the things that we're dealing with. If you want to get paid, you better have the relationship with the other realtors and
know who you are to understand what your purpose is, right? If you come in, if you're transactional and you're trying to negotiate and they're like, well, wait a minute, let me see your pedigree. How good are you at what you do? And why should you bring value? And why should we pay you more? And why should, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's just moments of time that you take. And, you know, if you compare that to the time, and I really am big on systems like you are, but I'm also big on priority management. And if you weigh the difference between all the sleep you're going to lose because you don't know where your next deal is coming from versus having a quick phone call and or a quick, you know, note, remember that people have lives and life events happen all the time and you're not top of mind. And the only way to stay top of mind is to have these unexpected little things that you're talking about, you know, these unexpected quick things that could just brighten someone's day. And now with video, we can also include video. But don't make it a canned video. I've got a guy who does send out cards. He does the same thing, but he'll send a canned happy birthday. And it's to the same, he does it once a month. He goes from a time perspective and, you know, he's been on this show. He's a coach, a mortgage coach. And he said, you know, from a time perspective, I just say, hey, it's your birthday, yada, yada, yada. But I really think that extra level of personal touch means so much more, because every year that I get it, I just delete it. And he's not progressing his business as a result of that. So I just want to encourage people to not get too wrapped up in it. I do have a real estate agent that his name is Andrew Lax. And I would send him a card every time. Thank you so much for sending these people. Thank you so much. And he's like, would you please stop sending me cards? Because I know that you appreciate it. And I said, no, I'm not going to stop. So I started sending him a card and I would write really small, two words, dot, dot, dot. And then I would write really big, thank you. So I wouldn't do the whole thing, but I would have some fun with it. Okay. So I want to ask you another question about this as well. You talked about, reaching out to I call them alumni, by the way. They're never past clients, because I think passed away, you close the business and you close the casket on the business. So I always think of alumni clients, because you want them to come back. You can call them boomerang clients, whatever you want. But I, you know, in the past, I coached a lot of realtors too. I no longer coach them, but realtors, mortgage people, I also coach non-mortgage people, you know, business owners, they have a problem picking up the phone. And part of the reason they do is because they don't have the relationship that they want, right? They've just been, I don't want to say, and I hear this all the time, I don't want to sound salesy. Well, you sound salesy every month that you send a newsletter and you don't ever talk to them. So that is salesy. You already sound salesy. So I can get why you don't want to make a phone call, right? But can you walk us through your script for making someone feel good? So it's been 7 years. I haven't talked to somebody, you know, now I'm going to call them. I don't want to sound salesy. Hoping you're not going to say check in, because I think that's the worst word anybody can.
No. So, you know, you just can't, especially during 4 years ago when everybody was just tethered to the home. All I would say is you came into my mind and my heart, and I just wanted to see how you were doing. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. And if the relationship, if you are new to real estate, or if you want to start new again today, I've had a get to know you form that I would ask my prospects, buyers and sellers to fill out. And that form would say, besides month and year of your birthday and anniversary, et cetera. Right. What's your favorite flower? What's your favorite restaurant? And just try to get to know them and we should all have some kind of contact management system and just put that information in the system. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to do, and it doesn't have to be elaborate. But just the fact that if I know someone is interested in golf and there's a golf tournament, then you just say, hey, I just want to know, are you going to that tournament? Are you, who do you think is going to win?
Be my golf partner. Yeah. Let's dig in deeper. Yeah.
And anything that is relational, that's the reason why to call. And if somebody I haven't spoken to somebody in a long time, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe the time has gone by. I get calls all the time from people who used to be my real estate clients, and they call me because they get cards from me, whatever. And they go, oh my gosh, how are you? How are you? They call me. Yeah. And that's exactly what you want. You want people to call you. You don't want to be always calling them. But that's, that being said, it's just not to sound salesy. It's just the first three times you reach out to them, you should not talk at all about real estate or mortgage or whatever.
No business.
This is just about how's everything going? How are the kids? I just wanted to make sure you're doing great. Have an awesome day. Remember, the call cannot be a long call. You're interrupting their world. So they don't want to be on the phone for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's too long. I've suggested is to have an egg timer and flip that egg timer every time you have a call. And when that egg timer, the sand is in the bottom, that's the end of the call. That's fine. That's the time to gotta go, end the call. So it doesn't, 3 minutes, it's not a long, long time.
Yeah, I think it's good. My two cents into that is that, I like to reach out to people and say, hey, I was just thinking about you and I want to touch base. I wanted to touch base with you rather than, hey, I'm checking in. Do you know anybody? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? None of that. It's just, hey, I was just thinking about you and I wanted to touch base. And I think that, it's very gender neutral as well for men that they can say about it too, that I just simply wanted to touch base, and they don't need to know that you are touching base because you're on the next list. They really don't need to know that. And if you really do have them on your mind, then you definitely need to go off script and touch base with them about that as well. And I also think the other thing is to tell people what the purpose of your call is. Hey, the reason I'm calling is I was thinking about you and I wanted to touch base. How is your season, as I call it? Like, how was your weekend? How is your holiday? Did you get to see the eclipse, right? Anytime that you're having those conversations, I think it's easy, to just say, I was just thinking about you. How are things going? It's just that simple, but it's not about business. And I've even laughed about it and going, hey, Jill, it's Jen. I helped you with your mortgage 7 years ago. And I know you get all my information, but I bet you didn't expect to hear from me today. Did you? Ha 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 ha. Right. Well, that's on me. And I've been remiss. How are you?
Yeah.
We get into our own head. Oh my God. And no one's ever hung up. No one's ever gone, well, who? People are like, oh my gosh, it's so good to hear from you. How are you? So you're right. It's not about us. It's about them. And as soon as you can remember that, that is the best thing about it. I love it. So Jill, it's been fantastic. I love all your ideas. I love that you're reemphasizing this, out in the marketplace with everybody. And I know that we have a link to You know, if someone's interested in getting signed up with promptings, I keep wanting to call it promotions, promptings, that we'll have the link that they can sign up for that and, you know, and explore it and see some more information about it. So we'll have that in the show notes and they can get in touch with you as well. So one of the things I want to ask you is, could they find ideas from you on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and things like that, that you're doing on a regular basis when they follow you?
But, well, if they want to learn, I do have a top 10 how realtors use the system, the Send Out Cards tool system, how they can use it in their world, in their life. If they reach out to me, I'm happy to send it to them. I'm happy to,
okay.
They can reach out to me. They can message me on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram, and I'm happy to share that with them. And we can have a deeper conversation if they have any questions about that. And it's just that simple. It's really,
I love it. I love it. So occasionally I'll ask this question, you know, sometimes I say, what's a quote, what's a mantra, what book are you reading right now? But I love asking this question every once in a while. So Jill, you know, we're all best friends now, and you've invited us to come to your town for the weekend. What are we going to do? What are you going to show us that you do on weekends? What do you do?
Oh, I do so much. Well, we have awesome, in this nice, the weather that we're coming into, we have this emerald necklace, which is a series of parks around the entire Cleveland area that is connected. And if you're an outdoorsy kind of person, you can go from one park to the next park to the next park and just do all kinds of outdoor sports. I love to do dancing, Latin dancing. So there are plenty of
places. Talks about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's plenty that's at the evening or whatever, but during the summer, there are plenty of outdoor concerts all day long. So we can do that. And then of course, by the lake, we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Science Museum right next door. And there's beautiful museums and beautiful, there's a lot of culture and a lot of things to do and a lot of great restaurants to enjoy. So my weekends are pretty full.
Awesome. I know, it sounds like a good place. And you know, and the reason I ask this question is because everyone goes, oh, well, she's in Cleveland, Ohio. I've never been there. They think whatever they think about wherever anybody says anything, but it gets the opportunity for new tourism to come into every town when I ask that question to people, because now we're like, wow, I want to go see this emerald necklace. You know, Boise, Idaho has something similar. It's not called that, but they've got something similar where it just kind of ropes around, you know, the town. And, you know, here I live outside of Washington, D.C., and we have the Beltway, and, you know, there's all these really cool places that people like to go. So thank you so much for sharing that. That's great information for everyone to think about, you know.
A lot of my clients, my buyer clients were from relocation. So I had to sell Cleveland
yes.
to the area. So I had to make sure. So my thing is, I have to make sure I go to the latest restaurant or the latest hotspot because I have to be kept aware of what's going on. So
great,
that's my
right off.
Right off.
It's research, right, for your business.
Exactly.
Well, my cousin, one of my cousins, I'm one of 36, but one of my cousins is one of the top pediatricians at the Cleveland Clinic. He does open heart surgeries for children. That's what he does. And it's just really cool because I know that Cleveland is, you know, extra special. So, all right. Well, listen, what would you like to leave us with as we close out our time together?
Well, the one thing I would make sure that people do is make sure the way you start your day is so important. Your daily routines, the way, are so critical to your success. You know, turn off the news, turn off your phone, whatever, get grounded. So make sure you have habits that will support your mindset and get you ready for the day. So just make sure you have the mindset of, hey, I'm going to list a house today. I just don't know the address. I'm going to sell something. I just don't know, you know, what the address is going to be. And once you have that mindset, everything else will just unfold.
I love that. I love that. I used to say this every day. I don't say it anymore, and you just reminded me, right? I used to say, God, someone somewhere out there needs me. Please help me find them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, That's very good. Similar. I love that. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yeah. Jill, pleasure to have you on the show today. I hope that those that are listening have taken lots of notes. And for ideas, make sure that you click on the links below as well. And remember to subscribe. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to and follow us on this podcast if you've not listened before. And please always remember to share this forward, pay it forward, share it with someone else who's struggling and maybe they're paying for Zillow leads. Maybe as a loan officer, you're being presented, you know, with, hey, share Zillow leads with me. And maybe you can be their coach, their roaming coach, and help change their business. And that's the way you add value in any relationship. So thank you again, Jill, for joining us. And thank you for listening in to Mortgage Lending Mastery. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.